Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
John, why the heck are we sitting here right now counting down the minutes to a Steelers-Ravens game? Why are they playing at 3:40 in the afternoon?
Well, because NBC, which of course I can't now watch because DirecTV has taken off the local station because of a negotiation that's going on.
So
I was following this all morning, John, on your Twitter feed.
And
it, did you get some sort of resolution here positively at all?
About 10 minutes ago, they finally figured out that the five charges, because they charged me five times for DirecTV. And, of course, I had already contacted the FCC, and what they did was totally illegal, and they wanted me to file a complaint, so I gave them until 12 o'clock West Coast time today. So finally at 11:50, they finally said, okay, well, yeah, here's our overcharges and everything else. So they resolved that, but what they haven't resolved is my wife's ability in a wheelchair to be able to watch the football game today.
She can't watch it. And she's a big-time Steelers fan, right?
She is, yes, indeed. I mean, again, this is a game that she wants to watch. And so now she has right now no ability to watch it, thanks to good people at DirecTV.
So you got to tell us why the game's at 3:40 from what you've heard. Why couldn't the NFL get NBC to put this on in prime time for us, John?
Because NBC has the Christmas light show tonight. And I guess that's a big event for NBC.
But not as big as Steelers-Ravens.
What's that?
Not as big as Steelers-Ravens.
No, I know that, but that's they picked the idea. It's like, well, we can do the game on Wednesday, but we can't do it at night because we got the Christmas light show. And so I guess in the spirit of Christmas and Santa Claus and everything else, they've taken that stand, and the only option was to play it Wednesday afternoon.
I don't even know what else to say. I don't know what else to say about that, John. By the way, lowcast.org might help you find a way to watch that, your wife, a way to watch that game, but that is neither here nor there.
Where do you get lowcast.org?
No. Just go onto a computer and just go lowcast, lowcast.org. I've been looking at your mentions, and that's what people have been telling you, and that might help your wife be able to, like, stream the game on a phone, a tablet, a computer, something like that. I want to help her out here so she can watch the Steelers.
Yes, in the spirit of the Steelers and
dust.
Christmas season, yes.
How lopsided do you – or no, I won't say that. Do you expect this to be a lopsided game? Double-digit Steelers favorites here, and no Lamar Jackson. Do you think that this thing, if it looks like a blowout, it smells like a blowout, it is a blowout in the making?
Yeah, I do, because when you look at the big picture, it won't be as bad as New Orleans and Denver, with Denver not having a real quarterback, a practice squad wide receiver who played quarterback in Wake Forest. What you're going to be looking at is they come to this game with basically a 40-man roster, not 53, a 40-man roster, and then they have all the other, I think a dozen players or something like that, that are coming off the practice squad. 10 players coming off the practice squad, 12 players off the practice squad. So really, it's like they're undermanned. They don't have their starting running backs. They don't have Lamar Jackson. They don't have Mark Andrews at tight end. They don't have Calais Campbell. They don't have the run-stopping ability of Brandon Williams. And so they're missing so much that you can run on them. You can pass on them. You can do so many things. I mean, they're going to be okay in the secondary, but overall, this is a team that's undermanned. And again, it won't be as bad as Denver and New Orleans, which was 31-3, but this should be pretty one-sided.
John Clayton here on Black and Gold Game Day, 35 minutes away from kickoff, and you can stick with us during the game. John, how about the idea here that the game should have been moved? How close was the game to getting moved to a later date in the year? I don't mean like tomorrow, I mean at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think we're at that last day because they were running out of options. That's why Roger Goodell and the league tried to salvage everything and try to hope that there wasn't going to be too many positive tests on Monday and Tuesday that would prevent this from happening. And, of course, when they had the big spike on Sunday and got it up to 23 players, I thought it looked pretty grim. But they were able to get through. And, of course, today, you know, there was, you know, one positive test by a player, one by a staffer. But that player was already at home, so he wasn't coming to the game. So, overall, I thought it gets pretty close because where are the options? You don't have anything. You know, there's no more bye weeks. I mean, there's only two teams left with bye weeks, and that's Carolina and Tampa Bay. So there's no wiggle room. So because of that, it would have to be a week 18 type of thing, or they would move one of the games and take it to week 18. So this was pretty much, I think, the last couple hours.
John, do you think that the NFL has been fair in how they've handled this situation versus the way that they handled the Denver quarterback's room outbreak, if you want to call it that?
Well, I think the Denver quarterback thing was perfectly fair because, you know, they made a mistake. Now, they were approved to have the meeting of four quarterbacks, but when the quarterbacks didn't have their masks on, mm-hmm. then or at least had their mask off for a certain amount of time, none of them tested positive, but they were all high risk based on tracing. And so because of that, that's their fault. In fact, it got to the point today where the Denver Broncos ended up fining all four quarterbacks. So they made the mistake. They pay the price. And, of course, they lose the game. But they were going to probably lose the game anyways. In the case of the Steelers, I think that, you know, the Steelers got a tough draw in this because here they are, you know, preparing almost an extra week mm-hmm. and waiting and waiting and waiting. And, you know, in reality, it's like, I think it's, you know, it's good from the standpoint of the Steelers. They're going to take on an undermanned Raven team and should be able to at least lock up the division away from the Ravens today. They still have to face, you know, Cleveland and all those things. But overall, I think that, you know, the Ravens are lucky that the league had the patience to stay with them. Now, one of the options could be to forfeit, but that wouldn't have benefited the Steelers. They would have won the game, but nobody in the Steelers would get paid because the Steelers wouldn't get a paycheck. The league wouldn't get a paycheck from TV, NBC, any of those things. So in the end, I think they did it about as good as they could under a horrible situation because this one in many ways was worse than the Tennessee Titans.
Well, I want to know from you, John, though, what was your reaction when you found out that the Ravens players were unwilling to play the game on Tuesday? And the stated reason that we've heard is we needed practice time. Like, I was shocked that the NFL said, all right, good point. We'll move the game back to 3:40 in the afternoon on Wednesday. That part of it,
yeah,
I didn't get.
I don't buy the – I mean, again, I know there were some players grumbling about that, but I think that was pretty meaningless because really the reason they moved it back has nothing to do with the players not wanting to play. It was the players being able to play because of the COVID tests. And, you know, they were so spiked in the standpoint, particularly when you start to get, you know, three and four on a day, particularly late in the week. I mean, there's no choice but to move it back because you're trying to stop the spread, and they at least stopped it to a point where there's 23 players.
If they had no choice but to move it back, why was there so much conversation about them threatening to basically strike and not play?
It's just loose reporting more than anything else. I mean,
okay.
You know, when you have those number of players that are in the locker room, some of the veterans are going to grumble, and some of the veterans are going to reach out to their agents and then, you know, get the word out. It's like, hey, there's a bunch of us right now that really don't want to play, but I don't think that was taken into the equation whatsoever. You know, again, you know how things go with reporting.
Yep.
I mean, you can hear things, but where is it in the big picture? I mean, you didn't see John Harbaugh coming out and saying he didn't want to play. You didn't see the organization, but there it's going to be players. And when you're looking out there, particularly, you know, maybe on defense and all that stuff, it's like, hey, we're really going to be exposed here to maybe some injuries. And that's, if you're a veteran, that worries you. But I think in the end, it was kind of loose reporting.
So, John, you don't think that Steve Bisciotti and John Harbaugh, who I would say, respectively, owner and coach, are among the more respected in their professions or in their positions in the NFL, were bending Roger Goodell's ear, or kind of back-channel lobbying to have a little bit more time here? You don't think that that was a major part of this?
No, I'm sure that there was conversations, particularly with John Harbaugh and people on the team, just about the availability and the chances to be able to play. Because you notice that they were willing to send out a plane and get the players out there a little bit earlier. But then, you know, when you get the big spike coming up over the weekend and over the last several days, mm-hmm. you know, then that just put the team in a position. It's like, okay, we can't, because again, it's so much at risk. And even you have to worry, even today, are there going to be players that might test in the next day or two that causes spread. Now, the league's been lucky so far. They've been able to get all their games in 12 weeks. They've been able to not have one player from another team spread it to another player. But you still kind of worry because this is a very tainted team right now with Baltimore that has a lot of guys that could be carrying something that can go to the Steelers.
And they have that tainted team because of the strength and conditioning coach, correct?
That's in part, yeah. I mean, there's still going to be more of a full investigation, and I'm sure there's going to be sanctions that are going to be put on the Ravens. But and again, this is where the team fessed up to one thing, just like the Denver Broncos did when they admitted that, okay, you had the four players, but they weren't wearing the mask properly. And so now they've put some sanctions on the four players, just like I'm sure they've already done with the strength and conditioning coach who didn't wear the mask well enough.
I guess here's what I'm curious about, John. Like, shouldn't it go up to Harbaugh if one of his subordinate coaches does something like this? If this were a college team, we would be talking about, on Harbaugh's part, a lack of institutional control if one of his coaches stepped out of line and caused a major outbreak. Do you expect anything's going to be adjudicated that way in terms of what the NFL discovers here, or what?
No, I mean, the big thing is that the NFL, and that's why, doing something before the game would be wrong because, again, you don't know the full extent because you don't have the full picture. Now, of course, once they kick off, you'll know the full picture, and then you come back and then make some decisions about it later. I mean, they've already taken away two draft choices. The Raiders lost a sixth-round pick. The Saints lost a seventh-round pick. I wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens lose a pick and then have big fines and all that stuff. But you want to get the game in first because then you have the full picture of what has happened and what didn't happen. Because if you, let's say you do something on a Saturday and all of a sudden you have to go through what everybody has went through just to get the game to Wednesday, it's like you want the full picture, then you come back and then you make the decision.
John, how about the competitive integrity of the season getting called into question? Steve Young went on this huge rant Monday night about that he thinks it's just bad for the NFL that this is the product they're putting out there right now, that they have a practice squad wide receiver in one game at quarterback. Now the Ravens are basically brought to their knees and can barely field the team. And he thinks that is not an NFL product and something that the NFL should avoid at all costs, including moving games back later in the season to make sure they put out a good enough product. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. I think it's like you want to have the perfect product, but you can't have the perfect product with the way the pandemic is going. I mean, there's just going to be glitches like this. And so the key is to get in the games so then you can get to the end of the season and know who's in the playoffs and who's not in the playoffs. I mean, if you keep on, taking the overly cautious approach and saying, oh, yeah, well, let's move this back. We'll go week 18. Well, let's say Baltimore has another week like they did. Then you may have to have a week 19. And, you can see even with the wait, there's still going to be more players that are getting positive tests. Now, remember, we still haven't got the full extent of Thanksgiving yet, because, they did take Monday and Tuesday off, not allowing players and people in the building so that, they can make sure that there's not going to be any spread from that. But, I mean, the numbers are going up. I know the league just put out, I've spent so much time with DirecTV today, is that they put out that there was 28 positive tests 2 weeks ago and 35 positive tests today. Now, that's a growing number because it's gone up at the beginning of the month from the mid-teens, and in October it was 8 a week, and now it's up to 35, and it's probably still going to grow. But you still have the ability to get the games in as long as it doesn't spread too much on one team.
John, what would you say to this quote from Roger Goodell from a little over an hour ago, just in general about the way the NFL has been handling this? Quote, we don't see the bubble, so using a bubble, as most refer to it in one location. We feel strongly our protocols are working. We're willing to adjust and adapt those protocols, take additional steps. But I don't see us doing the bubble in the sense that the media focuses on it, end quote. I want to ask you if you agree with Goodell that their protocols are working, because he seems pretty confident in that quote that they're doing things that essentially they wouldn't do things much differently than they have.
Yeah, my only criticism is I think in the case of Tennessee before the Pittsburgh game and Baltimore before this game is that they should have bubbled up in a hotel and try to do it that way if you're Baltimore and Tennessee, not on a mandate from the league. I mean, like, for example, why would you put the Steelers through, even though they've had, four or five positive tests here in the last week? Why would you want to go through that as opposed to, but when you have almost half your roster that's out there and having, all the tracing and stuff like that, I think bubbles should have been considered in the team cities for both Tennessee and also the you know, this team, Baltimore.
All right, John. If you can't get the game, just tell your tell Mrs. Clayton to pot us up and listen to us BS about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, John. There you go. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
John Clayton. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. I didn't figure us in as that type of lifeline or life preserver for people today that have issues with cable or satellite and they have
John
to lean on
giving,
us.
How about John giving a huge telecom conglomerate, essentially, a high noon ultimatum like it's the old West?
Or how about he just said, I'm going to call the FCC as if he just has the FCC on speed dial.
12 o'clock Pacific time, and then it's going down, and it worked, at least to some extent.
Well, he's kind of a big deal. He's in the Hall of Fame. He has millions of Twitter followers. He was ESPN's number one NFL reporter for about 30 years. That's clout. Something tells me... No, I was going to say something tells me if Zeiss were in the same position, but he would threaten to go down there and like kick somebody's ass.
I was
going to
say Zeiss doesn't say I'm calling the FCC. Zeiss says I'm going to beat the crap out of you and find out where you are.
There's a towel in my car if you want to cry on it, pony. Okay.
That's a great one. I like that one a lot.
What was the context of that, Steiny?
He was upset with you guys talking about what you're going to do during the game and your take on Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Hmm. and his objections to both were what exactly?
He didn't think you had a brain for your take on that, and that he does. He goes up against Stanley Cup Finals all the time.
Hmm. Oh, not this again. How many people watch the Stanley Cup Finals like in a good year? What does it pull on NBC? Like a 3.1? The 10 highest like primetime broadcasts of the shows of the year are always like it's like 9 Sunday night football games and then one random
Pompeiani,
episode of how I, you know, of young Sheldon.
Pompeiani, after the sports call last night, was giving me kind of a Cliff Notes version, basic version, dumbed it down, like how impressive the ratings are for Steelers games locally. And how they just blow everything out of the water, and it's not even close. I don't just mean blows everything out from a sports perspective.
Don't preseason games obliterate stuff, too?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but don't worry. Paul has gone up against the Stanley Cup Finals many times. You know what I went up against, Paul, when the station flipped and I was doing 2 to 6 a.m.? The creeping onset of nothingness as the station was like 2 months old and I was talking into the abyss at 4 in the morning.
You can text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. If you're listening on the radio.com app, you're out of market, you're not in Pittsburgh, you can't get the game, you're driving around, you don't pay for the premium service, we can be your eyes and ears here. We're going to have live reaction. We're going to watch the game and react to it with Zach Banner from 5 to 6. So that'll be fun. And we'll have reports from Heinz Field, including one coming up next with Jeff Hathorn.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!